This episode is brought to you by Disney Plus.
Set in the picturesque Cotswolds, Rivals dives headfirst into the ruthless world of British television in 1986.
Where shoulder pads are big and ambitions are even bigger.
Based on the best-selling novel by Dame Jilly Cooper, the new series follows ex-Olympian and incorrigible rake Rupert Campbell Black in his long-standing feud with the controller of Corinium Television, Tony Battingham.
Starring David Tennant and Alex Hassel, egos rage, fame calls, power commands, opponents clash, and rivalries run rampant.
Everyone wants to get on top.
Rivals, an original new series now streaming exclusively on Disney Plus.
Copyright 2024 Disney and its related entities. 18 plus subscription required.
Hey, podcast listeners. Have you heard? You can listen to your favorite podcasts ad-free. Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.co.uk/adfreepodcasts. That's amazon.co.uk/adfreepodcasts to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Kill List is a true story of how I ended up in a race against time to warn those whose lives were in danger. Follow Kill List wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Kill List and more Exhibit C true crime shows like Morbid early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Hello, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the wonderful, the hilarious, the probably a better Pavlova maker than Jenna Lyons. I'm going to say it right now. Mr. Ronnie Karam, how are you?
Hi there. How are you doing?
I'm great. I am so excited to talk about this Pavlova-centric episode of Real Housewives of New York today with you. Anything going on in your life today, Ronnie, that you want to share?
I think if I had to say who I was the biggest fan of walking out of this episode, it would be that Pavlova.
Yes, the Pavlova did seem to have the most interesting arc.
I was like, I don't mean to be offensive, but please stop having angry Pavlova energy. And then all the other breads got really mad at me.
I was kind of really like, Pavlova.
Been controversial over here.
I was like, Pavlova, if you're going to be on camera, you got to give it back a little bit. Come on, you're never going to last long, Pavlova.
What is a Pavlova? It looks like a meringue. Is that what it is? I thought it was bread. Oh my God, this is a big meringue?
It's like a giant meringue that's like dried. It's like a dried meringue, and then you put like fruit in the middle and stuff. I've actually never had one because it's always filled with the things that I hate, like berries.
Fruit.
For people who are new to the podcast, you may not know this about me, but my strange thing is that I detest blueberries, strawberries, and raspberries. Although I've made some recent inroads with strawberries, so that's going in a good direction. But to me, I see a pile of berries, that I am actually disgusted by it. I can't even, like, the scent, it's really awful to me. So the Pavlova is a no-go. It's a no-go.
Yeah, Pavlova is a no-go. Well, it looks good. One time I thought, I want to make a really big meringue because that's the best part of a pie. And then I thought they should make a whole pie that's just a meringue. But they already did. It's called the Pavlova. So guess what? That trademark, it's no wonder that trademark didn't come through. And I'm not made sense on that. Okay, so
fast forward to 3 weeks from now. Well, Ben, I'm really upset. All I've been doing is I've been making pavlovas ever since that episode. I've been trying to perfect my own pavlova.
Probably. It's how I got into macaron. We were watching somebody make them on this show, and I did it for 3 months until I made them perfect. And I think I've made them what since. So great art form. Okay, that's not the point, guys. The point is, welcome to Real Housewives of New York City, season 15, episode 4. We are doing this on video like we do all of our episodes. That's over on Patreon. Patreon is super fun. Go do it. It's also where we do bonus episodes. Our first couple episodes of Below Deck Sailing are over there. And the other ones are on the main feed from now on. So go check out the first two over there. And let's get to the recap in. Or did you want to say something before we get into it? I really have to get into this. There's so much going on in this episode.
I would like to say something. Potato chips. Okay, moving forward.
Yo, delicious. I remember the time I made potato chips. Okay.
All right, so we are...
Here we are, Sag Harbor. Yes. Cackling Sag Harbor, as someone said in comments, which I thought was so fucking funny.
Cackling Sag Harbor. Well, we can mention this. Speaking of Sag Harbor, one of the Sag Harbor residents, Andy Cohen, if you have not seen the video of him high as a kite at a whatever the Grateful Dead rebirth, I forget what their new name is, with John Mayer. If you haven't seen that video of him in tie-dye losing his mind, please go find it on the internet because it's really going to make your day. I just want to say that right now.
It is. Wow. You know that whole saying, dance like nobody's watching? It's that.
Yeah.
And I will never be comfortable doing that. It's kind of like when you start taking improv class, they make you feel as stupid as possible just so you can get used to feeling stupid. And that is what that dance looked like. It was like, just dance, just throw your arms out. Don't worry about any kind of rhythm. No one's around you. Have no spatial awareness. Just flop all over the place in some tie-dye. Yes.
I mean, in some ways it was actually wonderful. It was just like, he was having pure joy. Just like, I don't care. But what's funny, Dead & Company is the band. And what's funny is that it was a spectator at this concert who is like far away and like zooms in with her camera on Andy Cohen, just dancing and singing along like crazy, just flopping everywhere. The only reason why they knew Andy Cohen was over there is that everyone is dressed, I would say normally in terms of like walking around on the street, and Andy Cohen is head to toe in tie-dye. And he's just like, he's like that guy at the concert. He is like, I understand. It's a Dead & Company concert. You're going to wear tie-dye.
Open mouth, like,
But it is like tie-dye everywhere. He is like the guy who walks up to you at a farmer's market and gets you to sign a petition.
Looks like he was slowly like waving away birds that were trying to attack him. Happily. Like, yeah. Wow. That like housewives were trying to sell on Instagram. They were all influencing for punch balls that you tied to your arm.
Yes.
And you're punching at them like randomly. That's how he dances. Yeah. And you know, you're right. There is something just pure about watching somebody be so happy. It's gross, honestly, but it is pure.
It's strange on a network that just showcases misery and families and relationships falling apart, but you know,
yeah,
good for him.
So did you say John Mayer is in the Grateful Dead now? No.
Yeah, John, they are now Dead & Company, and he's like a guitarist and stuff in it.
Did something happen with his own career? What happened to John Mayer? Did he get sick of those three chords? Or
your body is a wonder. I think actually in some ways yes. I think you know, he's a guitarist, and it's probably like cool to be part of the Grateful Dead, and I think he can't sing anymore. I think he had some issue with his voice.
Really?
Was left
what happened
of it.
To him?
I don't know. You know what? I don't want to go on record saying lies about John Mayer. All I know is that he wound up Dead & Company, and he's just there. Yeah, I don't know what else to say. He's there with Dead & Company. I feel like I'm covering up something.
He had surgery on his vocal cords. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Vocal cord surgery. Oh, wow. That sucks. Sorry, John Mayer. Wow.
It's wild.
All right. Well,
guess he won't be belting out those big notes anymore that he was so famous for.
Okay, so let's this is probably going to be a 5-hour recap because like maybe 2 minutes of content happened in this show. So
have love, am I right?
We start with Rebecca talking to Sai about how she needs to drink a lot of water because she's dehydrated because she's still nursing.
Yes.
And Raquel's like, are you pumping and dumping? And she's like, no, I'm freezing it all. And they're like, oh God, there's nothing worse than just God, not emptying, just walking around full of milk. I mean, it's just terrible. I mean, I know the feeling, really.
Yeah, and Rebecca's like, yeah, one time Gavin and I went to a club in Paris, and I felt like the feeling that I was like, you know, and you're going to have to like, I was like, Gavin, you're going to have to like sort me out, and like, we're going to go to the bathroom right now, and you need to relieve me. This is, I feel like this is becoming a trend with Rebecca, is that she like announces some story about bodily fluids. Like last week it was like, yeah, I put in a Diva cup and it fell out. It looked like a murder scene.
Yeah.
This week it's like, I had so much milk, I had to have my husband suckle at my teeth.
Yeah, I thought she meant like he was going to grab her boob and, you know, like twist and, you know, like you're cleaning out a mop, you know? But no, he like literally went down there and sucked on her boob. And then Si was like, did he spit? And he did spit, which I don't know. Drink it. Why is it gross? Like, it's not gross. It's milk.
Mother's milk.
Why would you drink from a damn cow who's had God knows what injections? Like, that thing literally lives in poop. But you won't drink your wife's boob milk? Come on. It's drink it. That's what I say.
I love you shaming your husband about this.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't go all the way. He's like, I'll help you, but it's gross. It's not gross. It's your wife's milk. I mean, your son's going to be drinking it till he's 27 years old, according to her. She never stops. She never stops the breastfeeding. She's into breastfeeding until those kids are at college. She won't even have to pay for food at college because she'll still be there feeding that child with her boob.
She's like, hey, honey, I'm here for lunch. So the van arrives at a tennis club, and God, you know, nothing gets us more excited than watching people on Bravo try to play tennis, because isn't it so funny and wacky and hilarious to watch women not being able to hit a ball? God, it's so great.
Well, you know, I think they're trying to recreate that early Roni magic on the tennis court, because there were always really good tennis court scenes. But, you know, those were different people. This is Aaron. You know what I mean? So we roll up and Aaron's like, guys, I went to tennis camp here. We know Aaron. Like,
we already know. We didn't even know, but we knew. We knew this is where you went to tennis camp.
Okay.
we know Aaron.
It's the widest place I've ever seen in my life. We know Aaron. Okay. You got catered by Provisions. You know, you did cotillion afterwards at the Hampton Bay Country Club, whatever the fuck.
You had your prom at Citronella or whatever, then Citarella, whatever the name of that store is. So Bryn is like, this is the camp that you went to in like the Hamptons. It's like, yeah, she just said so. So now it's like, yay, time to play tennis. So they go in and there's an instructor named Tino, and they're all like, you know, he's cute. So they're all like, woo. I did sorely miss our Ramona Singer moment of like, hi, how are you, tennis instructor? And then Luann be like, hello, I like to play tennis. Do you like to play tennis as well? I'm like, come on, New York ladies. Like, you gotta like do some clunky flirting with your tennis professionals.
They tried it. Aaron was like, do you like my hair? I just got it cut to match my mom's length, and it was almost so many inches, but like, I stopped it. Have you ever loved someone who sold Bitcoin behind your back? He's so handsome, right, guys?
And Aaron goes, hey, girls, ask Tina what racket she should use. It's like, wow, good one. And
Bryn's like, winner gets to kiss the tennis instructor. What are we going to do? Hit the ball? She sure that won't hurt?
Jenna's like, I'm going to take a seat because it's a spectator sport and everyone needs a spectator. Plus, this is, to me, it reminds me of horizontal mountain climbing. It's just very, very stressful.
Yeah, so they suck at tennis, basically. And Jess was like, I'm British. I play cricket. Oh, you know you suck at cricket, too. Who are you kidding? Does anyone out there believe for 2 seconds that Jessel can play cricket?
I'm surprised Jessel wasn't holding the racket by the round side and trying to stick it with the handle. So, yeah, she's...
How do you flush this?
Oh, good. You got me. I call these things pavit bats. You just swat pavit with them. It'll do what you want it to do. So Jessel's like, so they're just playing tennis really badly and everything. And then Uba starts playing and people are taking selfies and stuff. And then eventually Uba and Aaron go to play tennis off to the side and everyone else sort of sits down and they're sort of having a chill talk and everything. It's like kind of like they're settling into their seats by the side of the court.
Yeah. And so Jenna is directing them take a picture with their legs crossed. And she's like, no, cross your legs the other way. They're like, oh my God, Jenna's so artistic. Because that's a lot of this show, is just taking selfies and posing in their outfits, you know?
Yeah.
And so they do that for a while. And then Si comes over. She's like, oh, hello. And Bryn's like,
this is the second time I'm being ignored. I just don't know what the fuck is going on.
No one was even mean to Brynn right here.
I think she was just, Sai was just like sitting down next to Jenna. I think it was like a normal.
That's just how Sai is. I mean, Sai talks to everybody like they're sweeping her porch. She's like, hi, how's it going? You doing all right? All right, fine.
I'm hungry. You got any candy on you?
I don't know what Brynn was expecting, but no one is victimizing Brynn at the moment.
Yeah, did she want Sai to say hello to everyone down the line as she went to sit down next to Jenna? I don't think she needed to. I cannot believe how much I've been on Sai's side this season. It's wild. So then
we see evidence of this happening the first time that was really offensive to Brynn. And it says flashback 2 hours earlier to Aaron's closet bathroom. And Sai goes, Aaron, do you have a sweater I can borrow? And then she walks past Brynn to get a sweater. It's like, okay. Did she need to hug Brynn on her way to get a sweater? I mean,
I don't know why this show is not burning up the ratings. So
this is crazy. Make that a drama. Remember how Sai came into the room to get a sweater? She walked right past you to get it. You better call her out on that, girl.
If I remember correctly, by the way, I need like a little bit of a recap here. So they were fighting. The big fight between Sai and Brynn is that Sai was mad that Brynn told Jenna that Sai hated Jenna. And then when they tried to squash it last week, Brynn was looked just immediately like, whatever I did, I apologize to you for. And so I was like, you didn't even hear what I have to say. And then they finally just got to a detente where they're like, okay, whatever. And then it was reignited because Sai was mad because she just feels like she never... Like Brynn just wasn't taking her seriously, and it got reignited right by Uba at the end of the episode because Uba kind of like brought it up to the group again at the whatever brunch breakfast they were having. Is that correct, Ronnie?
Yeah, basically Brynn was talking shit behind everyone's back, and so everyone's trying to confront her about it to get her to stop it, and then she turns herself into a huge victim every single time. And then Uba was trying to fight other people's battles, but then got mad at her on her own because she's still mad about the Connecticut guy. And yes. So Brynn keeps kind of apologizing to people, but it's more like an I'm sorry you're mad, but you will not speak to me in that manner. And it's like you know, she's like doing the absolute wrong apology every single time. So these girls still do not like her, and she's not gonna win until she gives a little, and we're gonna watch how that goes for the rest Brynn of the episode.
Brynn is having a spectacular face plant this season, and the audience is not having it. So Brynn is like,
nope.
Like, you go onto Twitter, everyone go onto Twitter, and you will see people are not having Brynn right now.
Brynn, she earned it in this episode. You know, last episode. I was like, but I like her. Like, I like her shtick in a way. Like, it's kind of funny. Like, I get it. I don't understand the hate, I would say. Like, why is everybody else hating on her so much? Wow. And then she had this week. I was like, oh, ouch. Are you an idiot?
I'm trying
with you here, lady. I'm trying, okay?
Yeah, as an early Brynn skeptic, this is very validating for me. I still contend that, like, when Brynn is just drops her whole act and she's just, like, when she's more authentic, she's much more compelling. I still believe that, but that's separate from me actually enjoying her.
Today, you were a parking ticket at the Grove when you were only there under an hour. You were immediately validated.
Yes. God, I loved it. So Brynn is like, my fight or flight is kicking in. And because I don't think I'm on the first flight, baby. And I'm going to join the Mile High Club on it. Yes.
But you keep starting fights with everybody. So your frequent flyer miles must be great because you never stop stirring the shit.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
In a quiet suburb, a community is shattered by the death of a beloved wife and mother. But this tragic loss of life quickly turns into something even darker. Her husband had tried to hire a hitman on the dark web to kill her. And she wasn't the only target. Because buried in the depths of the internet is the kill list, a cache of chilling documents containing names, photos, addresses, and specific instructions for people's murders. This podcast is the true story of how I ended up in a race against time to warn those whose lives were in danger. And it turns out convincing a total stranger someone wants them dead is not easy. Follow Kill List on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Kill List and more Exhibit C true crime shows like Morbid early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. Check out Exhibit C in the Wondery app for all your true crime listening.
Have you ever wondered who created that bottle of sriracha that's living in your fridge? Or why nearly every house in America has at least one game of Monopoly? Introducing the best idea yet, a brand new podcast from Wondery and T-Boy about the surprising origin stories of the products you're obsessed with and the bold risk takers who brought them to life. Like, did you know that Super Mario, the best-selling video game character of all time, only exists because Nintendo couldn't get the rights to Popeye? Or Jack, that the idea for the McDonald's Happy Meal first came from a mom in Guatemala? From Pez dispensers to Levi's 501s to Air Jordans, discover the surprising stories of the most viral products. Plus, we guarantee that after listening, you're going to dominate your next dinner party. So follow the best idea yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to the best idea yet early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. It's just the best idea yet.
So then Jessel and Bryn are sitting on a bench and Raquel comes to sit with them. And Jessel's like, so how do you pronounce your last name? Is it like the gas station? She's like, Chevremont. So it is like the gas station. No, that's Chevron. Oh, who's she? No.
Chevremont. I believe that's Poppet's favorite kind of cheese. No, it's not a cheese. Yeah, you know, Puerto Ricans are very mixed, but the French name that I have isn't actually even my father's last name. I have absolutely no relationship with my father. And Bryn's like, really? You know, they're all like, oh, wait, is there trauma bonding to be had? Yes.
Yes.
Gather around, everyone.
Oh my God, everybody. First trauma dump of the season. Gather around.
Get over here. Bring that tennis pro over. Come on. Trauma dump happening now.
Tommen, do you have any old rackets we can burn on the court? Need to make a fire. Girls, get some s'mores. Incoming trauma.
Trauma.
They love a trauma dump on this show.
They do.
But this, you know, Raquel, I mean, has not, you know, we're laughing because that was last season's theme. Her trauma is actually, no one's trauma was funny. It's just that they really rolled around.
It just really comes in wave after wave after wave. And so, like, the trauma itself, the story is actually very sad. And it's riveting to watch it told. But it's like, so this show. Like, oh, yeah, of course. How did we not think this was going to be the backstory? So, basically, Raquel tells a story about how her mother left her father when she was one. But when she was 11, she wanted to get to know who her father was. So she called up. And the dad's new wife or girlfriend answered, and she was like, who is this? And she's like, I'm the daughter. And then the dad was like, don't you ever call here again. And then his brother was like, what the fuck are you doing? So then she went over for the holidays, and like the dad sent a picture and was like, here's a picture, nice knowing you, bye, or something like that. Like, really, like a real shit box of a man, of a human. Terrible story for her. It was heart-wrenching, this whole story.
Yeah, it was really sad. And so, he like put all the kids in a photo booth. He saw them one time, put them in a photo booth, and then the photo strip came out, and then he just cut it up into three parts and just handed them all apart, and then they never saw him again. And so basically she was like, fuck that guy. I don't want that guy's name. You know, I don't want to walk around with his name. So I tried to take my mom's name, and my mom was like, my dad was an asshole too, which was just so sad,
yeah.
You know? And so they went down the family tree until they found this name. And so she kept this name. And yeah. So it's really a sad story, and it's a touching story. And she's really come so far, you know, despite all this. And Bryn's saying that it's so cool to see somebody go through something like that and still build themselves into what she has, like not letting your story control your life, which I think is probably one of the more empowering parts of this show, because I feel like sometimes the problem with everybody airing their trauma is it's like a way to excuse something, kind of the way that it's presented oftentimes on reality TV in general, is like these traumas don't come up until you really need something. On The Bachelor, it's like when you need to stay and you need that rose is when it's time to get your trauma out.
Or on here, it's like when you need Dallas. To be excused from being an asshole, it's time to bring up the trauma. But this was like, no, that was my trauma and that shit's over now. And I'm stronger for it. And you know what? Fucking God bless that woman. Amen.
I mean, she's obviously kicking ass. She's killing it. She's doing a great job. So
they're all hugging and crying and, you know, they're all crying and having a good bond. And then Jessel's like, so do you get an actual percentage everybody sometimes fills up gas? Or is that sort of a thing that they just bought when you were done with it?
Rebecca, now that Raquel has done her trauma dump, is there anything you would like to trauma dump on us?
Yeah, well, there was one time I was in Iowa at a parking lot and I just had to puke. So I just puked right into a planter and it turns out it was actually someone's popcorn. It was disgusting. I don't know.
But guys, I do actually have some trauma to dump. So can anyone open their mouths? Because I'm really full right now.
Like, why is every story about you so disgusting, Rebecca Minkoff?
So then, Rick... So then we move on to the Sprinter van. We get back on the van and Sai's like, oh, I can't do this, son. I'm really working on my skin right now. I'm really working on it.
And Raquel is like, well, you need the vitamin D.
Oh, honey, I got the vitamin D before I left. Huh? See, we're just like Ramona and Sonia, right?
So then they was saying, like, I slept so well and then I woke up at 5 in the morning. And everyone goes, yeah, and then went back to sleep. My dad does the same thing. So they're like, oh, yeah, by the way, can we go to lunch with your dad? Is he in town? So they FaceTime Aaron's dad. And they're, you know, she tells her dad that they're doing a Shabbat dinner tonight. And they have this nice little conversation with him. And he's like, only kosher, only kosher. So Jessel is basically like, are we dressing up tonight? What is the vibe? What is even this thing Shabbat? And Jenna's like, I don't know, but I'm making a pavlova, and you have to dress up with a pavlova, because I'm going to mention pavlova 60 more
dress
times.
Dress for pavlova. Yeah, I'm just going to keep saying pavlova. It makes me so real. This is why I was hired to get people to, you know, feel like Rockefeller Center is a village where we're all included. And the first thing to doing that was whipping up a pavlova.
I said, what pavlova. If we take the skating rink and design the walls that way it looks like you're skating inside a giant pavlova.
I wanted to create a show called 30 Pavlova. And still waiting to hear back on that.
You know, I was ousted from J. Crew after I proposed the radical idea that we rebrand the company as J. Pavlova. It did not go over well.
But the show I had come up with is still running over there, the Pavlovets, and just Pavlova's kicking really, really high. That's going well.
Well, we had two different creative visions. We're like, do we want pavlovas kicking high, or do we want rockets kicking pavlovas into the audience? And we thought, why not both? Why not both? Mm-hmm.
So they all have to cook a dish. And back at the house, Raquel and Jenna are trying to time what they're going to make. And Jenna is like, I'm making a pavlova. What are you going to cook? And Raquel's like, well, I'm cooking a fish. And I just honestly, I need to marinate the fish for a little while. Because that's how you make fish in the art world. And she's like, oh, okay. Well, while you do that, I'll make the pavlova. So then I don't want to be in the kitchen by myself. So I'll make pavlova while you marinate fish.
The meringue base has to cool in the oven because that's... I love those too. And then Raquel's like, but Uba says she wants to put her rice and beans in the oven. How many ovens does Aaron have? I was like, oh my God, are we about to have a pavlova versus rice and beans fight on the show? I was like, this will either be its best moment or its worst, but I'm getting ready for it. And sadly, it never happened. I felt like I was
a little
wrong.
Really setting us up for something. They're like, okay, you know, they're going to cook. How are we going to cook? Who's going to get room to cook? Is everyone going to have room to cook? But what if she's in there? I'm not going to have room to be in there. Oh no, how are we going to get the pavlova? How are we going to get the fish? It's over. That's it.
Yeah,
no follow through.
We've seen this before. We like, you know, Luann has built a whole cottage industry out of egg a la Française drama. And so I was like, oh, this is going to be Uba melting down. Be like, who took my beans out? I have to cook my beans in the oven for a pavlova. You know, I never said you could take my beans out of the oven. I was like, here it comes. It's going to be a thing. This is going to be the big Hamptons fight of the episode.
Here we go, buddy. No. Here no. we go.
Come on, no, pavlova versus enough. Beans. Come on. No.
Yeah, I was really looking forward to that. But guess what? It didn't happen. I didn't know you made, my best friend is Puerto Rican. And so she's made me rice and beans my whole adult life, actually. And I don't think that she makes them in the oven. I mean, I guess that's how attentive I am while I'm being cooked for, you know.
I have never made rice and beans, to be honest. But who knows? Maybe Uba's recipe is different.
Osai.
Oh, Osai is doing it? I thought it was Uba making...
Didn't they say Sai's making rice and beans?
No, Uba was making rice and beans.
Oh, okay. Then it's different. Then that's different. I thought it was like the typical, the Puerto Rican rice and beans dish. So maybe that's Sai why it's different.
Sai was doing a whole thing, which, by the way, explains why she had a big metal pot in her car last week, because she clearly had a dish. I felt like Sai was doing the most cooking. She was the one who was doing all the heavy lifting in that kitchen, in my humble opinion.
Yeah. So then downstairs in the living room, Sai, Raquel, Jessel are all on the couch chilling, and Sai's boob pops out. And Raquel's like, boobie's coming out. I don't know why I'm reading this. So then So now Bryn is in bed.
Someone say my
Aaron.
Pavlova's coming out? Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Bryn's in bed, and Aaron's like, what are you doing in here? Aren't you having a fun time? We were just about to talk about rice and beans possibly going in an oven at the same time as pavlova. And Bryn's like, I just want to go home. Can I go home? Everyone's so mean
no,
to me.
No, please don't even say go home. It's that bad right now.
Where's the rice, beans, and Bryn? I mean, I wasn't even included by the rice and beans. Everyone's so mean to me.
I don't know what's up with him. I'm sick of it. My brother dies with me.
And by the way, when Bryn cries, she smushes her whole head into the back of her neck, which is really funny. She's always like, she always looks like she's facing down a wind turbine. So she's she does that. She gives herself a quadruple chin. She's like,
I don't know what's up with him. I'm just sick of it. And my brother texted me, and I asked, what should I do? And he said, mom was like, Bryn, is someone sticking an invisible pillow on your face?
Yeah. It's so suffocating. I just want to go home. Well, I know that Sai and Uba are very frustrated with Bryn, but, I've been the target of a pile-on. And then we see flashback to last year with everyone in the hot tub. And Aaron saying, you're trying to get everyone against me. It's enough. It's too much. What are you doing to me? Literally no one has ever been this mean to me before.
Aaron, the victim of her own stupid prank that went awry. That's the part that she leaves out.
And by the way, she learned nothing from, because this episode, she's like, guess what we should do at my house again? A prank.
I know. We'll get to that. So, also, when Aaron said that she's been the victim of a pylon, I half expected to see footage, her to tell a story about how she walked into a pylon. It's like, I was a victim.
Have that removed. My family's in real estate.
You don't know what it's like. You lose all trust in someone when they put a pylon in your way.
So then that's Karen. So then at Aaron's Sag Harbor home in the living room. Okay, we're back at the living room. So now they're talking about outfits and who's cute and stuff. And then I don't care about any of this.
They're going to go to the
walking
supermarket.
Down the hall. Okay, they're going to go to the supermarket. So then Jenna goes to check on Bryn, and she's like, hi, baby.
Jenna's like, are you going to go with him to the shop in your non-Bentley?
She's like, no.
She's like, oh, are you going to be supervising my pavlova work? Because I'm going to work on a pavlova right now. No.
Okay, I'll help you. So now Aaron's making a fire, and they're going to go chill by that. And Raquel's like, I just have to cut the eggplant, and then I have to get it started. And then after that, I'd be more than happy to just chill at the fire like a couple of girlfriends.
So now Bryn is in the bathroom talking to Jessel, and she's like,
I don't know what I did to make them so mad. And literally look at me and say, you're a snake. Da, 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 da. This is all your thing. Shut the fuck up. What did I even do?
And then we see a flashback to that whole fight, and Bryn's like, it's just such an energy suck. I'm like, you're the one who's literally sucking the energy out of this pleasant making dinner sequence that is going on for the next 15 minutes.
If energy is not a really rich, handsome man, I don't want to suck it.
So then back in the kitchen, Aaron is, you know, I'm going to go sit by the fire and out. So now is wackiness with Bryn and Jenna in the kitchen. Hey, where's the temperature gauge?
Wait, do you know how to cook?
I mean, I know how to do pavlova.
You're like so lost in the kitchen. Well, how are we ever going to get married if you don't cook?
Jenna's like, well, it's not my kitchen. Hey, Aaron, do you have like a stepson or a godson or someone around that can cook food for us tonight? No?
Usually when I say I'm going to cook something, I go into the kitchen and I tell whatever lady is there in khaki pants that it's time to cook the thing. So do you have one of those? Or
you usually when it's time for me to cook, I just blast Chapel Roan from my speakers and wave a flag out my window. And usually Gay comes up and cooks me something.
For the longest time, I just thought pavlova was called Icon Mother because the Gay wouldn't stop saying that as he cooked it.
Icon Mother, your pavlova.
I always assumed pavlova was a beautiful lesbian figure skater from 1987. So I always said I would love pavlova until I realized it was just a dessert. So it's just now my thing. Does that make any sense?
So now Bryn's. No, but I loved it. So now I love, now Bryn is doing that thing where she's like, why are you drinking? You need to drink with me. Why are you drinking? You should drink. Why don't you drink with me? Wah, wah. Baby wants drinky. So Jenna's like, okay, well, I'm not going to drink, but I'll make it up to you by letting you wear my diamonds because, you know, I don't want to say poor, but you're poor. So here, take some diamonds. Look, wear them.
This isn't the oldest century, and I accept.
So, Jenna just puts diamonds on her. I love Jenna just has massive diamonds everywhere. And she goes, I mean, who doesn't feel better when adorned with diamonds? I'd like to meet that person. Diamonds are every girl's best friend. Well, next to pavlova, they do make you feel better. I do think they have healing powers. I'm just incredibly rich. You know what also has healing powers? Being so wealthy.
So then at the grocery store, Sai, Uba, and Jessel are shopping, and Uba's like, do you have coconut milk? So okay, they're getting stuff. And then Uba's like, oh my god, listen to how Jessel says cilantro. She says cilantro. Hilarious. Season 3 incoming.
Cilantro. I mean, isn't that Raquel's last name, cilantro? Just no. So they're shopping. They're at a place called Amber Waves, which for everyone who's a barefoot Contessa girly like me knows that Ina Garten loves Amber Waves. So shout out to Amber Waves and Ina Garten, because why not? Why not shout them out on this episode where nothing's happening? So Sai's like,
Jessel, when was the last time you went to a supermarket?
She goes, I literally never even go. We should go to one sometime. We're literally in one right now. Oh, really?
Where do we get the gas? Where do we put the gas in the car?
Why do you keep asking about gas? It's a supermarket. Jesus.
No. All right. What do we do here?
You get food.
Disgusting. I would never.
This is a terrible place. Can we go now?
There's so much pollution in here. Look at these things just all clumped together. Like, those could choke things in the ocean.
They're bananas.
So they
whatever you say.
All I see are different things I can push Pavit into. So
what are those baseballs?
They're cans of soup.
Like I said.
It's all disgusting to me personally. So then
do
they
we
play
have dessert. What if Jenna's pavlova sucks? Should we get some ice cream? And she's like, oh my god, you're ridiculous. So now Sai wants to play a game called How Much Shit Is? And
yes.
They're like, how much shit is? We get the wacky graphic.
Wacky graphic.
And so Sai is like, how much is organic milk? Is that where's that from? Is that from the state of Organia? What is that?
Is that from Orange County? Or organic orange, two different words. Okay, well,
it's
this
from
is
a real cow. What is normal milk from? Is there a different kind?
Does Tom Cruise drink this milk? That will help inform my estimation. So
she goes, oh, I know that milk is expensive. So that would be $6.50. It's like $9. I was like, wow, Jessel's actually going to fuck up this game, which I love. Because
yeah,
she's supposed to be like the mom on Arrested Development, right, Ben?
Yeah, I think this was actually a hilarious game. Honestly, I think $6.50 was a reasonable guess, but the problem is you have to also add in Hampton's costs, which is like it adds like $3 or $4 onto everything. So Sai's like, well, I honestly didn't realize the fucking milk was $9 either. So then they're like, okay, Sai's like, okay, avocado oil. Now this is where Jessel's really off because oil in general has gotten so expensive. I went to Pavilions the other day and like a 48 ounce thing of like the California olive oil is selling for $48. And I was like, absolutely not. So oil is crazy. So especially like these sort of like more specialized oils, like not like vegetable or canola. So Sai's like, how much is avocado oil? And Jessica's, I don't know, $5.
It's like, no, $16. Okay, what's a dozen eggs?
She goes, oh my God, $11? Less than a dollar per egg? $8.
Oh my God, so, that's quite expensive for things to throw at Pavitt's head.
You know how much my eggs are? I'm paying $1,000 a month for my frozen embryos. Like, I can't with eggs. I just can't with eggs.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that's the end of a fun game. So, okay, let's talk about eggs. So, how are you paying $1,000?
She's like, well, it's just ridiculous. Frozen eggs. And she basically
has... She's also got so many. Like, who needs 6 or 7? Is that normal? I mean, I'm saying that like I know. I don't know. Like, do you have extras in case one doesn't work out? Or
I think that's what it is. In case something doesn't... I don't know. You know, whenever it gets to this sort of stuff, I'm always like, what's an egg? So, but she's keeping them in a freezer, essentially, metaphorically, on Rodeo Drive. Of course she is. She's like, well, I want my frozen embryos to be near the frozen embryos of the stars. So we're on Rodeo Drive.
Julia Roberts just passed one of my future children probably this week. It's worth it. It's worth every moment.
One Julia Roberts embryo just told my embryo, big mistake, huge.
George Costanza's embryo just flirted with my embryo. Got really rude towards the end.
My embryo is wearing a big black rimmed hat and walking a very small dog at the moment, just so you all know. Rodeo Drive.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So I was like, oh my God, well, why don't you just put them in someone else? I could do it. And Jessel's like, well, a surrogate adds another $250,000. I mean, it's basically 3 avocado oils.
Jenna's like, yeah, I know, that's like 5 pavlovas. So Sai is basically like, whatever, if you give me $250,000, I'll carry your baby, Jessel. I'm really invested here. I'll carry 2 of them. I don't care.
Oh my God, that's all we need. The kid will come out with a Big Mac. Like, wait, where'd you even get that?
Shut up, I'm hungry.
So then, and I know that the baby is not supposed to take on characteristics from the oven, only from the egg and the sperm. I get it, but I don't believe it. I don't believe that you just live in a house for 9 months and you don't remember anything about it. I think it's going to get some Sai imparted into it, no matter what people say about DNA.
Yeah, it's hearing a lot of Sai's voice. I don't understand how that does not impact a little baby. So yeah,
it's like kids, you know, when people say, oh my God, when I was pregnant, I had a difficult pregnancy and I couldn't leave the house. So I would just listen to you guys. I would listen to your podcast, which is the nicest thing. You know, my response is always, why would you torture yourself? Aren't you in enough pain? But you know, then that's why their babies always come out with a tiny martini and a cigarette. And they're like, you know what? Fuck you. Fuck you.
So Jessel is saying like, so you know Sai, I see you in London, it's so cool to have a girl. And she's like, yeah, it's very sweet bonding, like the connection that we have. You know, Jessel wouldn't make the best girl mom. You know, that little girl would be running around in silk feather pajamas and just being like twinning all over the place, you know. So then Uba's like, come on, get pregnant together with me. And Sai is saying that like having a daughter is like having a best friend that you're going to have for the rest of your life. And she just wants that for Jessel.
God, these people obviously are not in touch with gay culture. Not little mommy dearest, anybody? Can someone send Sai to gay college, please, for about 10 minutes?
I think like also maybe they should talk to Jenna Lyons because they may have forgotten about one of her storylines from last season. So
seriously, or her own, really. So then, size two.
Oh,
size two. Yeah. she's like, oh, everyone loves their mom. So then Uba's like, you know, can't you keep an embryo at home in your fridge? Why can't you do that? And they're laughing. And she's like, because that's a lot of money. I mean, I pay $300 for my eggs. And I like that Uba found like some discount Temu version. You know, it'll take about 13 weeks to ship them here. She's and it'll be in a taped together box that's probably been thrown all over a truck from China to here. But still.
She has a test tube in the back of a display at Carvel somewhere. She's like, oh, don't mind. She's like, don't mind me. That's just my baby there behind the rocky road.
Why does that sign say 32 flavors?
I'm one. So then we go back to Aaron's kitchen and Raquel needs a nap, you know. And Bryn's like, I'm going to nap too. So, you know, we're firing on all cylinders. So then the other girls come back to the house.
Firing on all cylinders.
Yeah.
And there's like packages on the front stoop. So Sai, of course, is like, what are these packages for? And they're like, stop being nosy. So they walk in with pizza and Aaron's like, oh, you have pizza? And Jess is like, we did, like, right before dinner. And they're like, yeah, we know dinner's not gonna be ready anytime soon.
Dinner, we all know dinner's gonna suck. Like, who are we kidding here?
Yes.
So
I was like, this girl has to make rice and beans. What time do you think that's gonna be done? We just wanna be courteous, you know, come on.
So then now everybody's still cooking and stuff.
For people, for people who decided to join into our podcast episode midway through for some strange reason, I just want to let you know we've been talking for 20 minutes about people prepping and going to the grocery store to make dinner so far.
Literally, I keep looking at the page numbers on the side of the notes to see if I've gone backwards, but I have not.
I'm like,
but you know what's shocking? I mean, I have so much fun talking about it with you. I mean, I guess it's not shocking, but I'm having so much fun. But yeah, it's like, okay, I'm gonna take a nap. Hey, you guys want to take a nap? I'm gonna take a nap. And then Raquel is gonna go on the grill because she's really good at it. And then Aaron's like, I don't fuck with a grill.
Yeah, and Raquel's like, I will slay a fucking grill. You know, I don't cook very well, but I can fucking kill it on a grill. And then Aaron now, meanwhile, she's like, wait, Jenna's having a Pavlova moment. I want to have a food that starts with P moment. So she's like, I made picadillo. And she said, then for the rest of the episode, wait, I made picadillo. You want my picadillo? I made picadillo. It's ground beef. Picadillo. It's ground beef.
Oh, so then Jessel is trying to peel a potato and can't do it. And she's like, why the fuck did I say I wanted to make this? It's just so difficult making pudding. So it's like, that's a potato. Oh, God. I've never seen someone peel a potato like that. What, you're going backwards instead of forwards?
I actually peel it like Jessel.
It doesn't go forward. It doesn't move that way. That's not how avocados work.
Hey, this is a potato. I thought this was the can of beans. By the way, Ronnie, so I have the peeler that I use a Y-shaped peeler because, you know, there's like a Y-shaped peeler or like the sideways peeler, and I've like adopted the Y-shaped peeler. And when I use it, I hold the potato in front of me and I pull it down sort of towards me. But according to Sai, that's actually backwards. And then they show she does it forward, like. Which way do you do it?
Forwards.
I never knew this. I'm going to try
it. If it's a Y, I pull backwards, but I'm holding my hand so that it's moving forwards towards the potato. Yeah. I mean, anything sharp, you're not supposed to have facing you because, you know, you'll die. Now, I've never known anybody to die from a potato cutter or peeler, but I have cut myself many times with a peeler. Have you?
Not too much, but if I were using the side type of peeler, which is what I used to do, I would do that one forward. But with the Y-shaped one, I always pull things to me like I'm like unzipping it almost. You know, I feel like I have control that way, but it feels weird to go forward.
Isn't unzipping it pulling outwards? Unzipping would be
well, meaning
outwards.
Like if I were looking at it like this, okay, I'm looking at the okay, if I'm look. By the way, sorry, this is a.
No, I mean, I can imagine you doing,
I go like
it,
down.
Doing it backwards.
It's like, this is
oh, that's
this
doing
is,
it backwards, though.
This is, right, this is how I would do it, like this. Not like, I do like, I would.
I don't do it forward here. Like that. I still
this is
pull
the
it back
my
like this.
My coffee is the potato.
See what I'm doing?
My coast.
I do it like this, too.
But you're still brushing it away, whereas I would go like this.
Oh. Well, you know what? We don't have classes on that shit. What do we know?
I'm going to try that next time I peel a potato or any other thing.
Oh, my God. But good luck on your journey. You're going to have so much fun.
Guys,
okay,
I learned
so now they're still cooking. They're cooking more. And then Raquel is out there grilling in a nice big fur coat. And they're like, oh, my God. It's like it's giving caveman chic. By the way, how many followers does that caveman have? I will go help it at the grill.
This just in, Raquel has caught on fire by wearing a giant furry thing next to a grill. The producers were like, oh my God, Raquel wearing a fur while she grills. This is iconic. America is going to love this right now.
Well, America grills, and we know what a mistake that is, because that woman is going to smell like dead cows all the way home. I'm glad she brought her own car, because that shit's never leaving your coat. Have fun.
Yeah. I was like, do you really grill? Because you're wearing a big, fluffy jacket right in your... First of all, an open flame, which is scary, and second of all, it's just going to smell like smoke for eternity. So then she doesn't
like,
even make her
lamb. Guys, she said, here's the lamb that was able to be cooked, everybody. I made it. And Sai's like,
oh, wait, did you cook the fish first? Please tell me you're a cook the fish first kind of a person, because I don't want to have the fish. It tastes like goddamn lamb.
And she's like, oh, we didn't have the fish. You guys weren't able to pick up the fish. And everyone just felt weird about having two-day-old fish. Two-day-old fish. Eat the two-day-old fish. What's wrong with that? How new does it have to be? You need to get it like straight from its mother's breast. Not mine. Rebecca's like, I know, eating Rebecca's a fish. Like, she's like, you're not taking this fish from me.
She's
it's
like,
only 20 years old.
Let me tell you something. I once had a two-day-old fish, and I have never shat more at a Michael Kors fashion show than I did that day. So thanks, Rebecca. Okay, TMI.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so then Erin is with Brynn, and she's like, I have an idea. Look, we take this roach from this gag gift, and we could put it in food. We should put it in Jenna's meringue. Wow, this is hilarious. I'm like the queen of pranks. I don't know how they didn't just insert Uba, like, no one takes my phone, God damn it. From last season.
When I am on vacation, my phone
horribly wrong.
Yeah, I was already seeing the trajectory of this episode, which is that this was going to be a prank. Uba was going to be disgusted, and she was going to start yelling at Erin for how could you do that? Like, food is a sacred thing, and you don't mess with that, and now I've lost my appetite. And it's gonna be, this is what I thought the trajectory was going to be. So, they're going to put a roach out. So
it's hilarious. So then Erin and Rebecca are talking in the other room, and you know, everybody looks super pretty, guys. Okay, so now it's Shabbat Shalom, bitches. And this is the segment where they all talk about each other's clothes for about 5 minutes solid. Like, oh my God, you look amazing. What is that? Oh my God, it's Shabuti. Really? That's amazing too. What are you wearing? I'm wearing Cassandra. Cassandra! Where'd you find Cassandra? What are you wearing?
I'm wearing something from the Bob Hope collection. Really fabulous.
Thanks for the memories. Hey, Rebecca, are you going panty free? She's like, no, I'm not. I learned that I should always wear a diaper. Oh, cool. So just take the panties off, Rebecca Minkoff.
And then Rebecca says, no, because then it's wet. She goes,
oh, excuse me. Do you want to have a drink? You just said what?
So now it's time to have dinner, and they're talking about Jenna's outfit, and she's wearing like a latex sexy top. And Jessica goes, wait, was this recycled part of a truck at one point? I'm just asking because you are a lesbian and you are very, you know, modern. So I assume you're into recycling, you know, it's what people like us do now. And you like trucks because, well, I mean.
Some truck. I just love Jessel saying this to Jenna Lyons, you know, again. Well, she's now no longer like the like established person in fashion here at the table because we have Rebecca Minkoff, but Jenna Lyons, person of the fashion industry, and Jessel saying, so, I mean, what, this latex is just, is this like recycled truck of some sort? Jenna's and I like
Jenna, Rebecca goes, what part of the truck, Jessel? What would that even be? She's like, well, you know, I've never been in one, but I can just assume.
Don't they have, like, I don't know, CD players or things like that in trucks, whatever it is.
And Jenna's like, you know, there are things that come out of Jessel's mouth that I just, I mean, I love her, but ugh, I just don't know what happened there. I mean, this is made special and just for me, and it's by a very special Japanese woman. So, I mean, it's custom made in London by a special Japanese. So, I mean, next time I just want her look at me and say, was that made by a special Japanese person? Because, I mean,
it's not a dump truck. Meanwhile, there's like a Japanese lady in London being like, I just sold a recycled dump truck to some lady in New York who thought it was actually worth something. So, Jessel's like,
I recycled my husband's truck into a new outfit for that crazy lady, and now I drive a Nissan Maxima. It's like, wow, nailed it.
So Jessel's like, I mean, how do you even get into latex? And Jenna's like, well, I mean, I have a lot. Jenna does that thing like where she wants to tell a story but wants to pretend like she's embarrassed. So she's like, puts her hands like on her brow and is like, oh, you guys. Oh. So they're like, Jenna, what's going on? Do you have like, what's going on here? She's like, do you have like a latex company? She's like, no, I have a decent amount of it because like years ago.
You're into S&M, I knew it.
That's so hot. And she goes like, softcore bondage, what is it? I mean, I like the idea of someone being in this like wallflower, quiet kind of woman of mystery. And then, boom, behind the scenes, she's getting her freak on, banging dudes, zero fucks. I love it.
Okay, while Brina's having a pre-Pavlova orgasm, let me tell you the story about why I have so much latex in my apartment. So I was 27 years old and I dated a guy who was working for the New Yorker and he had to write about all the sex clubs in New York. And there were like tons of them. And this was like before Giuliani. And I remember we went to this one downstairs that was like a full on sex dungeon. And there was like women being strapped to a wheel and being turned and making pavlovas and just being auctioned off. And there was like someone over a horsepower. It was just wild. Just this crazy sex club. I'm like, this is an interesting story. It does not explain why you have so much latex in your apartment though.
Yeah,
I failed to see the connection.
Right.
It's like they
seem right. I didn't notice that, but you're right. Actually, she's like, I went to a sex club once, so now I have a lot of latex.
I was like, did you source the latex from the sex club? Did you have to wear this latex to the sex club? I'm like, I still want the dots to be connected a little bit more.
Yeah. So they're not taking it very well. Jessel's like, dungeon, sex dungeon. Is that where you get gas? No, Jessel.
Do they sell avocado oil in that dungeon? And is it also $16?
Jenna's like, there was a woman, like, sort of, like, I don't know, strapped to a wheel. And, like, they kept turning her around. Did she ever hit the big money? Were people yelling Wheel of Fortune? I don't know if it was a good thing. But it was, like, people getting naked. It was, like, public sex. It was so crazy. I mean, before Giuliani, you know, after Giuliani, no one really does that anymore. But I still see those people in the park sometimes and just think, God, I remember when you were basically a human swatch that night.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. It was pre-Giuliani. But after Giuliani, that sex dungeon turned into an Olive Garden in Times Square. So it's exciting.
Still unlimited sticks. So.
Question. I forgot my question was. I'm just going to move on.
So Jenna is like, yeah, there was a lot of watching. There's a lot of getting naked. There's a lot of public sex. It was insane. And so they're like, whoa, titillation. So Aaron's like, okay, by the way, it's time for a prank, everyone. So they are going to, oh, sorry. No, they're going to do, they light the candles. They do the prayer. And Aaron does the prayer, but she kind of forgets. So Rebecca Minkoff like helps her out with the last part. She's like, "Bere peri hagafin," and then Aaron's like, "You know, it's sort of weird to me. Like, I love Becky, but I just don't fully understand how you can have two religions that are like so different and opposing." So she's basically like, "How are you able to be Jewish and a Scientologist all at once?"
Oh, you just half-ass them both, and then you've got a full religion. Okay, welcome to America. So now Aaron's like, oh, I just want to say one important thing. It's like Shabbat's like super special. And so like, we're going to have Shabbat. Oh my God, what are you wearing?
No, my God, Jesse Simpson, what are you wearing?
Marge Simpson. It's actually Marge Simpson.
Wow, amazing.
So they give tears. And then they talk, Aaron's like doing one of those things like it's the end of the episode, and she's like, I love this group, no matter how chaotic we are, look at us, we just have so much fun together. It's like, look, you know, you still got half an hour to go, right?
I know. The red light has not started blinking, you still have some time left in your set. She's like, even look how chaotic we were today, remember? Jenna made a pavlova, I made picadillo ground beef. Wow, the chaos is wild.
Clothes. It was crazy.
We took naps. Well, I know how chaotic we can be, but we still come together like a sisterhood.
So and they all love the food and stuff. And tomorrow there's a chef coming who's going to make a ton of food. And Jessel's asking Raquel if her earrings are vaginas. And Aaron's like, okay, speaking of vaginas, let's play a game. We're going to play Never Have I Ever. Never have I put Bitcoin into an account and had my husband use it without telling me. Anybody?
Never. Never have I ever not made picadillo. It's ground beef. Only me.
So the question is, never have I confused someone's name for during. Oh God, who cares? It's such a fucking housewives game. Get a life. Go do something. Talk to each other. My God, don't you guys do anything? This is the most. This is next to let's go get our vaginas frozen. Storyline as one of my most annoyed. Like, let's have a game because we have nothing to offer. You guys need better auditions. If you have nothing to offer with an entire Housewives cast, then fucking games like this. Never have I ever. Get the fuck out.
Yeah, and then side does a never have I ever seen my coworker naked, which leads to like 5 minutes of everyone talking about like, oh, well, Rebecca Minkoff is like, well, I needed a graphic designer, so I called on Brad, who was my ex-boyfriend. So does that count? I'm not sure if that counts. And then Aaron is like, well, Brynn is like, oh, Aaron, you slept with your partner, business partner, didn't you? And Aaron's like, thanks, Brynn. Thanks so much. Would you like some more picadillo? Ground beef. So Aaron is like talking about like her business part. It's really deeply uninteresting stuff.
She went into business with some dude that she banged in high school, basically. And then I used to show my boobs to get a free taxi. So that, and Brent's like, you are a piece of trash. And they talk about how she used to have really good boobs before kids stole them from her. And then now the next one is, I never, and Bryn says to Jenna,
this one's for you. Never have I ever licked a butthole.
And Aaron's like, never.
Why is that? Being on butthole licking?
I don't know. And Uba's like,
just like, you're gay, so I'm going to say something that sounds gayish.
Yeah.
To you.
You put a gun to my face and I wouldn't do that. And Aaron's like, I would maybe lick a woman's asshole, but not a man's. And Justice like, but like, maybe if it was bleached, no. An asshole, is that... Actually, not even sure what an asshole really is.
I'll tell you what, an asshole has no gender between that. I only have a woman's, but not a man's, you know? So then Raquel... So then they're talking about, oh my God, what if they steamed it? Raquel says, only if they steamed it in the yoni pot. And so they're laughing. And Brent's like,
lesbians, lesbians, let me. Why is everybody so mean to me?
Jenna's like, I'm not letting my child watch this show. So now it's like time to bring dessert out. So Erin grabs the fake cockroach and she's going to she slides it under the pavlova. And so, then they bring Erin tells us, I've heard the word pavlova maybe 50 times. So of course I want to put a roach in the pavlova. Chefs, kiss.
So meanwhile, the girls are making small talk and they're asking Uba about her hot sauce. And she's like, oh, I'm just waiting to have a team. I don't want to rush because I can't produce a lot. Didn't you already go on morning shows promoting this? How much did you have? Like 3 bottles in your house?
I know.
But she's still working on that, and which I would totally buy because I love some hot sauce. And then Jessel is whatever. So finally, we get this crazy, wacky thing happen, and everyone's like, oh my god, disgusting. Well, like, oh my god, there are 8 legs on my plate.
I liked how long it took for them to find the roach because Erin didn't hide it well. So she's like, everyone dig in, just dig in, everyone. And no one finds it.
No one's gonna eat either because it's a Housewives cast, so they're barely gonna eat on camera.
Forking at the pavlova in the center of the table. So Erin's like, wait, no, everyone get a slice, keep on eating. Anyone eating? I hope there's no objects in this pavlova. Keep eating, everyone. Keep eating.
And then Uba gets sick and she has to run to the bathroom to barf because it grosses her out so bad. And she's really barfing. I mean, she's going crazy.
She is
in
barfing.
There, just like, ah, ooh, ah, eh, ah, ah. It's like a choir of gross sounds in there. And then Sai goes to check on her, but she's so grossed out from the barf that she starts barfing. It's like that Stand By Me movie where everybody starts barfing at the same time.
Yeah. So they're both barfing. And then Erin's like, oh my God, you're throwing up in my sink. This is hilarious. America must love us. And then Rebecca Minkoff is like, oh, this is like Tuesday for me. So Sia's like, you know, I came in to check in and she's throwing up and made me throw up. And they're all just like cracking up. Uba's laughing. Uba was going to get mad. I thought Uba was going to be like, you do not do this. But she was laughing. Everything was good. And there's like fun times with everyone.
I think we skipped a part because I seem to remember a part where someone said, Rebecca, aren't you changing? And she was like, oh, I thought we were supposed to just come down here in our pajamas or something. Like, it's brunch. Like,
that's the morning.
That's coming up. That's coming up. I just answered myself, didn't I?
Yeah.
That's brunch. Sorry. Yeah. I was like, I like that part. Why did we skip it?
If you thought that we skipped a fun part, don't worry. We didn't.
I was like, we need this. We need this today.
So they laugh. It's a fun night. It was actually a really fun night. There was no drama and they're all getting along well. And Jessel at one point notes that, you know, Uba and Brynn are getting along well. Everything is great. So now it's the next morning. And the chefs are going to come over to make a shitty breakfast. And I know it's going to be shitty because the chef is too good looking to make a good breakfast. We all know the first rule of chefery, right? And they come over and then Jessel and Rebecca are in the bedroom. And Rebecca is like getting her pump, you know, whatever it is, you know, the breastfeeding. It's a pump, right? It's called a pump. A portable pump. Yeah. I'm careful because one time I said on the show, I was like, oh, well, she's got a milk. People were like, Ben, I cannot believe you refer to it as milking. So I'm like, I'm got to be careful because sometimes I just casually just say things but the wrong way. And I just make it sound so much more mechanical than it is.
And Jessel's like, I can't believe that you've done this. You've milked yourself for almost a year. And she's like, oh, my God, my first was 3 years. I just can't stop. She's like, wow, Rebecca, that's a long time. She goes, yeah, he literally would come up and go, mommy, booby. She says that she doesn't want to stop. She says that she doesn't want to stop. She goes, we're going to breastfeed until he can talk and say, mommy, lift your shirt up. I was like, okay. So it has to be that specific one because you were just talking about how the other one was like, mommy, booby. So it has to be like full sentences. We don't stop until our children can do calculus. That's the basic rule.
Unfortunately, Parvit says the same thing to me. And whenever he does, I hit him over the head with a plastic spoon.
I don't know how any mother does that. My cousin just had a baby, and it is the cutest thing. And she's the best mother. I mean, she's been waiting to have it for so long. It's so cute. Shout out to my little Isla. The cutest baby. And, like, I have nothing against this baby, you know? It's, like, perfection. It's an angel. But I look at that, and I'm like, get off of her. Like, get a life. Don't you have anything to do with yourself? Get off of my fucking cousin, you monster, you fucking soul sucker. You know, it's hard not to get mad as a person with no babies. I don't understand how you do that for 3 years.
Meanwhile, Jenna is packing and she tells someone, you know, every hotel I've been in, I've forgotten something. That just shows you how rich she is, because that's a rich person thing to do, where you can just throw, you're like, I'm going to throw whatever I can remember into this bag. Whenever I leave behind, I'll just replace.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, oh my God, did I leave my M&M's wrapper up there? What if there was still one in there? I didn't do the final check.
I'm the one who still looks under the bed, even though now all hotel beds have like walls under them, you know, but maybe this one doesn't.
Yeah. So now they're going down for breakfast and they're all getting dressed, you know, and so they go downstairs and first Jessel calls Parvit and she's like, hello, Parvit, have you met anybody famous? And I found out avocados power cars. Did you know that?
Do you know that when they talk about big oil, they're actually talking about avocados? I never understood that before.
He's like, well, while you're goofing off, we're holding down the fort over here and trying out different kinds of ketchup from around the world. So far, Korea's winning. Like and subscribe for more.
Wait a second. We have a fort. What does that mean?
Stop eating while I'm talking to you. Jessel, I don't have time to explain. I'm raising 3 children on my own. Just, well, don't worry. Tomorrow you get off. And he's like, we know that's a lie. You're going to sleep in all the time. And he goes, hey, Rio, who's always sleeping? And he goes, mom. She's like, oh, my God, asshole, teaching our children to say I sleep all the time. Oh, God. Actually, Pavel, I've got to go. I'm extremely tired.
I'm exhausted by this conversation. I can't deal with this anymore. I mean, what an asshole teaches my kids to say I'm always sleeping. How about I teach the kid, your father is always being stupid, hangs out with people who love fried chicken and goes to tiny little dumps around the city just to try different bowls of noodles. How about I tell the children to say that instead? Oh, sorry, Papa, as you were still on.
So then downstairs, the ladies are joking about trying on Jenna's ring some more because they're just so big, okay? And Jessel's like, oh my God, do you think she'll let me try hers on? Hey, Jenna, can I try yours? And she goes, which one? I've got a lot of diamonds. So
and Rebecca's like, and Jessel's like, I want to try the promise ring. And Rebecca's like, wait, is it, it's a promise ring and not an engagement ring? And Jenna's like, no, it's an engagement ring. But when we first got engaged, it was hard because the kids, we were trying to be low profile. I'm still trying to be low profile with my diamonds. I love Jenna talking about trying to be low profile as she pulls up in her $250,000 Bentley.
I know. Rebecca's like, I'm sorry.
Vintage Mercedes.
I didn't hear what you said. There's something in front of you. Could you move that? And she moves her diamond out of the way. She's like, I'm sorry. I said that, yeah, we're trying to be low profile. She's like, that diamond's as big as China. Are you being low profile?
I guess Rebecca said the joke anyway. So Jess is like, look it. It just looks so good on me. Oh my God. I can't get it off. Sort of like the smell of Parvit after he's been to one of his restaurants.
So then Rebecca's like, well, I thought we were all coming down in our pajamas, but I guess I missed the memo because everyone's dressed to the nines. And they're like, oh my God, you have 2 suitcases. I mean, you brought a lot on the chopper. What'd you actually wear? I mean, where are the looks, Rebecca Minkoff?
She's like, oh my God, it's actually hilarious. I've only worn half of 1 suitcase. And then Bryn is like, okay, so... when I give you shit about wearing the same thing, you can be like, hey, I have a clothing brand. And then you can say, but you sold sweatshirts at BravoCon. This was hilarious.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, you know, I have a national brand, and you sell t-shirts at BravoCon, Brynn. And she's like, oh, but I'm not like that. That's not my nature.
The print goes, that means you're not gonna last. That was this was amazing, because to me what this said was that the producers do not like Brynn, because they are putting they decided to intentionally pull back the curtain to show that she is trying to sort of produce moments, right?
Right. Yeah.
And they are not protecting her in this way. They're outing her, which means that the producers they don't like her at all. That's my theory.
Yeah, and it would have been funny if she did say that, like, for another take. Okay, let's do it again. Well, I have a national brand, and you sell t-shirts at BravoCon. She'd been like,
oh, Rebecca Minga was so mean to me. Like, I totally lost my boner. Just kidding, I still have my boner, but it's a sad one.
Brynn totally wants to have a feud with Rebecca. I mean, she started the season by saying, you know, like, Rebecca Minkoff, like, you've seen her stuff at Nordstrom Rack. She wants to have a feud with Rebecca, because that would totally raise Brynn's profile if she has a feud with, like, an established famous designer. But, like, this also speaks to when you're, like, truly successful. You're not, like, Real Housewives successful, but when you're truly successful, you don't have to do this. She's just like, yeah. Yeah, no, I only wear half a suitcase. Like, oh yeah, cool.
Yeah. When I get mad at somebody, I generally have them followed by members of my church and their lives ruined. So that's basically how it works with me.
I don't need this petty shit. What are you talking about?
Sabrina goes, guys, did you hear the news? And Uba goes like, well, I went to their room and we started laughing. And Erin said, look, you guys love each other. And Brynn and I looked at each other the other day and we said, of course we do. I love you, Brynn. And Brynn's like, I love you too. Now, Uba, if you want to say really, because you only sell sweatshirts at BravoCon, this would be a good time to do it.
You have to keep reading, because I have a headphone malfunction.
Oh no. So Brynn is like, I love you too. And Uba's like, and you know, and Brynn's like, no, wait. I'm not gonna cut you off more. And Aaron's like, you just did. She goes, You just did. And here's the thing. Every time I'm out of alignment, it's because of Brynn. She side checked me, and like, I don't like to be interrupted. And when I'm having a conversation with someone else, let me finish, Brynn. Just let me finish. And Jenna's like, wait, I thought this was a happy moment. Like, let's go back to the I love you part.
Let's go back to that.
Do we need another pavlova or picadillo? That's my food.
And Uba's like, no. I don't get mad. I don't scream unless you mean something to me. So that's it. I love when people say that. The only reason I'm terrible to you is because I love you.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so sweet. Could you love me less? That would be
great.
It's
the Reza Farahan.
Whatever the amount of love I need, or whatever the amount of hate I need for you to treat me with some respect, would be awesome if I could get that. Thanks.
To me, this is the Reza Farahan defense. You know, we yell at each other, but it's because we're like family. And like, I still haven't met Baby Shams, but we're family. So, I wonder if... Reza has met Baby Shams. We have confirmed that like 2 years ago, but I still like it in my mind to think that Reza has not met Baby Shams.
Baby Shams!
Oh, I miss Shaza Sunset. So Brynn, so this is actually an important part. So Erin says that last night she pulled Uba into her room and said, please work it out. You guys love each other. And Uba says, and then Brynn got out of bed and she came to me and touched my face and was like, please, please, please use your words when you're speaking. And then, which is already like, what's that all about? And then Brynn tells us, she goes, I was like, Uba, I don't want you to come off as angry. That was my priority with Uba, not that she was yelling at me.
So I was like, what?
I was like, well, but she's allowed to be angry. By the way, you're allowed to be angry.
Yes. And so Aaron's like, yeah, there was a couple of things where I was like, yeah, you shouldn't have said that. Did you see my last season? And Brynn's like,
yeah, I told her, I want you to marry Oliver, and I want Oliver to marry you, and I don't want you to come off as an angry black woman, you know?
And I was like, oh, no. I mean, I just heard all the chairs in the saloon back up.
It's like, oh no. Why would you say that to somebody? What is wrong with you?
There's
what the
so many,
fuck is wrong with you, woman? Oh my God.
There's so many like layers going on here. You can really go to Twitter and you can see people's reactions. A lot of people are saying lots of very fascinating things. One thing that jumped out at me was that Brynn, someone said, I think her name on Twitter was Echo, and she's like, you know, Sai spent all of last year yelling about things, and Brynn never said this to Sai. So it's interesting that she's saying it to Uba. But this I feel like didn't rub me the right way. It did not rub many people the right way. And
yeah, no, you don't say that. Especially, I mean, look, we're two white guys too.
Yeah.
So I don't want to like sit up here and like school a black woman on what she's supposed to say. And
exactly.
You know, I also understand that boundary. But, you know, just from watching Potomac and not living this experience, but just having watched it play out on that show, I was like, no, you're a light skinned woman. Like you don't get to do that.
Basically.
You don't get to do that.
What I, like Ronnie said, you know, we are two white guys. And so I feel like we're observers of a situation, but it's not a lived experience for us. But like from everything that I have learned and seen and et cetera, it just felt like there's so much subtext going on here. And it felt like this was really problematic on Brynn's part to really bring this up and to suggest also that Oliver wouldn't marry Uba if she were, quote unquote, an angry black woman. And the truth was also that like Uba is allowed to get mad, especially if you're the one who made her mad. She's allowed to have an emotion. Jeez.
Yeah, agreed.
And the use really your words rough. Thing was very condescending. That's a very condescending thing for Brynn to say to someone. Yeah.
So, and then and Uba said, and Aaron was like, she's not an angry black woman. Don't say that. And she said, shut up, Aaron. You don't know. You're not black. Shut up. And so Aaron's like, I had a feeling Uba would think about that and then be like, don't tell me how to behave. And then it cuts back to Uba going, please don't tell me how to behave.
It's someone on Twitter also said, you know, it's a bad state of affairs when even Aaron understands that what just happened was problematic.
Well, that happened last year. That happened last year with Aaron. Like Aaron said, like, why are you so angry? And then she was backing away from her and saying shit like that. And that's kind of what happened with Aaron last year. So, yeah, Aaron knows. And I think Brynn's doing this like, well, I can, but you can't type of thing. And it's like, nope. Nope. Yeah. So,
but it also is like feeding into sort of a narrative that they're building on the show that Brynn is not producing, but she's being very self-aware of like how she's coming off, how others are coming off. Like she's being, I can't think of the right words, but she's aware of the cameras. And so we just saw that with Rebecca Minkoff. Like, this is what you're supposed to say in front of the camera. And she's telling Uba, hey, this is like, you're coming off this way, don't like, you should be careful about coming off this way, when it's like, actually, we just want people to be themselves, whether they're angry or not angry, just be themselves. And if people start calling Uba the angry black woman, that's on those people, that's not on Uba. Uba's allowed to act how she wants to act. And if someone is like, oh, she's aggressive, she's threatening, well, fuck those people, because they're the ones who have work to do, not Uba.
Right. And I think that last year this kind of started because of the whole Aaron thing with the phone and all of that. And I think part of the subtext is Brynn saying like, you know, after last year or whatever the reaction was from last year, I don't want you to feel like you're being called an angry black woman or something. I mean, right. I do think there is like an element of that where but it's like you're saying, she's talking about show stuff and she's bringing it in like, you don't want to be perceived this way. And it's like, well, you know, it's the people. The problem wasn't that she was an angry black woman. It's that she was being called an angry black woman when she just got pissed at something that happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not the word angry. It's the suggestion that somebody is worse than other people for having emotions when you would never say that to any of the other people. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Or so that someone is, the word is like, people are using is policed. Yeah. Like,
it's just crazy because referencing last season as if the problem was Uba, and the problem was the fact that she was called an angry black woman. It's not that she was actually pissed off at something that actually happened. It's, you know, so yes. Yeah, I think you're right. This is a mess, and I did not go onto Twitter, but I can only imagine, because I was like, oh,
people are
no.
not happy with Brynn right now. They're not. So Uber,
she hasn't been having the greatest season anyway. So this is just like this has got to be. Oh, this is not good, girl.
Yeah. So Uber's like, I love you, but English is not my first language. I'm just really passionate, and when I'm speaking and someone, you know, and someone sidetracks me, I lose my shit. I'm getting mad at you. Like, don't do that. You know, I love you. Don't do that. Please, please. To me, it sounds condescending. So I'm begging you, don't do that. You're a beautiful, amazing, incredible person. You're kind, but you're very condescending, and you're condescending to everyone here. So don't do this. Don't.
Yeah. And then so Brynn's, so she's like, I'm good, because they're like, are you okay? And she's like, no, I'm good. So she gets up and leaves. And Brynn says that she's like, this is driving me nuts. Like, I'm just looking out for you, dumbass. Like, I'm trying to use logic. I mean, she's playing into the stereotype. That's what I'm trying to tell her. So in one ear, out the other, because I'm convinced that there's nothing upstairs.
Oh, God. She just makes it worse. I mean, what's bad is that was said in the confessional when she's even had time to think about it. And it's still literally no one told you anything. Like, you just totally walked away with that, had time to think about it. And then later, like days or months later, still think this way? Oh, Lord.
Well, the other thing is that, like, Uba was saying too, like, by the way, like, I'm like, I don't call you names. Like, you come to me and I'm going to respond by calling you a name, right? Like, you know, you're disrespectful and condescending, you know. Yeah, I agree, calling someone a snake and a liar is not a good thing, but you're not until you're condescending to me. And if you do it again, I'm going to call you a snake again. And, you know, and she goes, and I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, oh, don't put disrespect on my name if you call me a snake. And Brynn's like, don't mock me. Don't mock me. And then fast forward to the part you're talking about. And then Brynn like does a fake like Uba accent at some point. Or maybe it's not right here, but maybe it's later.
She's done it 10 times. Just
I'm like, you're mocking Uba.
You know, she does that to her and stuff, which is like, she's a hypocrite.
And what Brynn is really getting clocked for is that she loves talking about, I want to stir the pot. But then when she is in the pot that is being stirred, or the pot has overflowed onto her lap, she is not happy about it.
If you can't taste the stew, don't stir the pot.
Yeah.
So, she's just blundering all over the place here. And so then they're like, Brynn, are you okay? Because she's like, I'm really over this group. Everyone's going to stop this bullshit with me right now. Again, the victim. The victim of her own bullshit. Here we go. So Jen gets up. Jessel gets up to hug her. And she's like, no, I don't want a fucking hug. What I want is, maybe for the second time now, people do this shit and you all sit there with a thumb up your ass not saying anything. Because you earned that. What do you expect people to say? Oh, my Jessel's God. Like,
oh, thank God I didn't have to give up to get a hug. Give a hug. I'm so tired. I just want to go to sleep. So Brynn's like, I don't have to sit here and take this fucking bullshit from people. When I don't like shit, I leave. I tried to leave yesterday and I want to get the fuck out of here. And I'm not happy with this shit. And everyone needs to shut the fuck up. Everyone needs to stop. Everyone needs to get off my dick. It's like, okay. You're a hero because you're a martyr because you stayed longer than you wanted. And Rebecca's like, guys, let's just get some fresh air and go for a walk, maybe pee in a bush. And Aaron's like, well, I'm sick of it. People, this is like dumb.
And that's the end of the episode. It's the end of the trip. That's how it ended. Wow. And so we kind of see why things spiral to that finale that we've all seen clips of in the first episode. Yeah. It looks like it's not going to get better. Because one thing Brynn cannot do is apologize sincerely. Mm-mm. She's never done it. She's not going to do it this time, and she really needs to. I mean, definitely now is a time where you need to like look within yourself and be like, I was wrong, you know?
Yeah.
The fuck.
I think
crazy.
My note to the producers is the last episode and this episode, if they had combined them into just one big episode, it would have been an absolutely amazing episode. But because they had to stretch it out over, maybe there's a note to Bravo, they had to stretch it out over two episodes. I feel like this is, again, one of those situations where I'm like, I'm concerned that they have made an episode order that is too long for what the show can sustain. Like, let's go for shorter seasons where the drama can be stronger, you know, or the episodes can be stronger. That's my note to.
But at the same time, they kind of need to warm up too, because we're just only on the first few episodes, and so we don't know where the season goes or if it's true. You know, but it was kind of a tepid year last year, so they're just getting warmed up. So this was like what, episode 3 or 4?
Episode 4. I mean, and like I've been liking the season more than last season, but I think if anything that Dubai showed us is that like, and even Potomac, you can have a rebound season and you can come out of the gates just really like great. So anyway, we're trying to wrap up. No need for me to start like pontificating about what this show needs or doesn't need. You're right. We're only at 4 episodes in. And I mean, look, the show got us all talking. It's everyone's talking on Twitter about it. So I guess it's succeeding on that front.
Yeah. Most kind of positive kind of press anybody could ever want. But you hashtag know, press Pavlova. Is press, I guess.
Hashtag yeah. Pavlova, hashtag Picadillo, hashtag,
hashtag two I day came fish. Here for tennis camp.
Hashtag tennis camp.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
We're fanning out for Bethany Fannin.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Dana C. Dana Do.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Ringing the Funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
Let's Give a Kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Let's Get Feely with Maggie Sheely.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Cast a Spell with Shannon Spellman.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's Get Real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's Go on a Bender with Lauren Fender.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.